In this episode, we're going to be speaking about emotional intimacy. Now, looking at the stats on YouTube and Facebook, we know that the intimacy episode from season one has the most kind of views, interaction, and so on. So I kind of guess that it resonated with many people. In that episode, we focused more on the physical side of intimacy. And in today's episode, season two, we're going to be speaking about emotional intimacy. So we're speaking about connection, openness, communication, love, vulnerability. Would you say a primary reason for marital discord is because of a lack of emotional intimacy? And if so, what are the reasons for the lack? Sumeya. No one wants to answer yet.
I think it's part of it. Mm-hmm. I think that in any relationship, friendships, parenthood, marriage, I think that that ability to connect and be honest, open, feel safe to express yourself genuinely, I think is critical. Mm-hmm. Why is there a lack? Probably a million reasons. Like it could be so many things. It could be each person's own baggage, their stuff, their upbringing. You know, were they raised in a household where people could express themselves and not be shot down, or were they taught that that's not acceptable? Also, you know, on the male-female lines, you know, men deal with their own stuff on their own and ladies like to gush. You know, it could be these kind of lines. Even between parents and children, you'll find like culturally, in certain cultures, it's more like I'm friends with my parents and we can talk about anything. And in other cultures, it's aib and a shame and you shouldn't ever mention that in front of your parents. Mm-hmm. So where are the lines? And I think it's different in every household and every culture.
Mm. Yeah. What about you, Lenika?
So, you know, emotional intimacy is, I think it is quite broad. And what you were asking about, is it a reason for marital breakdown? I think it's a massive part. And it's probably a massive part. It has a massive part to play in the physical intimacy too. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when, especially on the, from the side of a woman who is typically known as being
the more emotional.
Mm. And I say typically because that's just a generalization. But, you know, if she isn't in a good emotional space, or if she is feeling in a certain way, then obviously we know that it has the impact. But just even that ability to be open with your spouse, to say, to feel safe, and that kind of what you were saying, does one feel safe with that person that they're with? Mm. And not just in the marital home, parent and child, in employee and employer, any kind of relationship, do you feel that this person right here, I am safe to express myself fully and openly about what is on heart and mind for me? Mm. And the moment that you, if you don't, then there's going to be some kind of lockdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But before you can even think about being open with another person, have you taken the decision to be open and honest with yourself? Because to take the choice, to make the decision to be open, your vulnerable self, you've had to take a decision to really be honest with yourself first before you can share that with another person, right? And I guess it goes back to our discussions previously about being real and being our true selves, being open with ourselves. And I feel that a lot of people are unable to experience true connections with others because they're wearing a mask for whatever reason, millions of reasons, like you said, yeah? And so, yeah, they're not bringing their true selves to the relationship.
I think it also comes down to the meanings we give things. So there is a common narrative. If I'm vulnerable, that means I'm going to be hurt.
I'm going to be hurt, yeah. People are going to take advantage.
If I open myself up to that person, they're going to have a free ride with me. And if they've had that experience in the past, then obviously they're going to make the generalization for anything that can happen in the future. Mm-hmm. So they use their past to equate what's possible for the future.
Mm. And it's what we attach the word vulnerable to. Mm. When we say vulnerable, I mean now.
Danger.
There's danger. Yeah. There's maybe even abuse.
Yeah.
There's someone kind of above you, that you're beneath someone, that you're powerless.
In a vulnerable situation.
You're in a vulnerable situation. Yeah. But you see, being in a vulnerable situation and being vulnerable are two very, very different things. Mm-hmm. When we're speaking about vulnerability, we're talking about openness. We're talking about being authentic. We're talking about being so free that you can say, do, and be how you really are, that you're comfortable in doing that, right? Mm-hmm. With another person. But a lot of people are uncomfortable with that because, like you said, they're scared. They're scared that if they show their true selves, if they present them their true selves in a relationship, maybe the other person isn't going to like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe the other person will take advantage. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm going to be hurt. Maybe what happened before is going to repeat. It's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. But can true connection, can true emotional intimacy exist without vulnerability? I would say no. Mm-hmm. I would say no. I would say if there is a lack of openness in any relationship, if you're not really bringing yourself, who are you bringing to the relationship? Mm. Right? Who are you actually bringing to the relationship? And if you're bringing someone else to the relationship, well, then is that a true connection or not? A true connection meaning my soul connects with yours. My being connects with your being. My mind connects with your mind. If you're not bringing your own mind, heart, soul to another person, then the connection that you're experiencing is either shallow or it isn't actually real.
You know, that makes me think of how you can have in two people in a relationship on two sides, you can have one person who's playing full out and the other person who's checked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is like somebody's there presenting themselves and being fully themselves and they just are feeling like they're dealing with a brick wall. Mm. Or they could, you know, offer their feelings and their thoughts and the other person would respond by rejecting them or judging them or shutting them down. And it just is, it's like perpetuating the narrative that this is not safe, you shouldn't have done that. And it's just leading them to just shut down themselves.
Mm. Which leads to the relationship breakdown.
Yeah, the relationship just because they can't connect. Even if one is trying and the other is not meeting them halfway, they're it's not going to work.
Then what does a person do in that situation? The one that is vulnerable, that is open, if they're facing a relationship where the person is just wearing a mask, is shutting them down, is judging them for their openness and their vulnerability, what does that person do? And what we find, I don't know if you've seen this with the sisters that you've interacted with, is that either they will shut down themselves and as a result of that become depressed, down, angry even because they're unable to express their true selves, or they continue waving the flag of vulnerability and authenticity and that relationship becomes no more. Do you think Muslims have an issue with being vulnerable? Do you think it's, I mean, obviously it's across the board, but specifically within, you know, the community, do you think we have and specifically in regards to marriage, do you think we have an issue with being emotionally vulnerable and open with our spouses?
I wouldn't say it's, like you said, I don't think it's a Muslim issue.
No.
But I do think, I mean, yes, there is a problem there. And I think there isn't enough spoken about the struggle of the male population and vulnerability and what that means for their own thoughts around being a man and masculinity, and how that plays a part in maybe a woman deciding that she's going to withdraw, or a woman deciding that she's not going to give as much because she's not receiving that much. You know, there is that danger that if I'm just going to bear all with my emotions with this person, and or in those moments where I do bear all with this and this person's a stone wall, mm-hmm. not doing that again. Yeah. I am not doing that and putting myself in that position, because I just feel like whatever label that they've attached to that, I feel stupid, I feel ashamed, I feel, you know, and shame is massive, big, you know, yeah. It's big. To feel like shame in your relationship with your spouse, on goes the mask, on goes the, and also I think from, you know, from people that I have interacted with, since when a spouse drops a particular comment, then you start to view things from that. Oh, don't do that. That's from Jahiliyyah. Don't do that. That's from this. If you are a good Muslim, then you wouldn't be doing that. And these things might be actually part of how and who you are. And just like maybe an open person, a given person, blah, blah, blah. And then these comments start to make you start
wrapping it up. Yeah.
Putting on the labels and the layers. And then what ends up happening then, that there's a wall between that person, because you're thinking, nah.
You see, what could have been done differently in the example that you just gave is, okay, the man may hold that opinion that what you're doing is unacceptable, I don't agree with it, I don't like it, etc., etc.
Either way.
Right? And yeah. Either way. Just using the example though, you see, I think communication and connection are so linked, mm-hmm. right? If that man was to come and communicate that in a gentle, loving, open way, right? Then the woman would have received it differently, processed it differently, and that may have encouraged her to speak about why she does these things, why she wants to live in this way, why she's expressing herself in this way. And that furthers the dialogue. And the more dialogue and more communication there is between two people, the more connection, the more emotional intimacy. But you see, the way we choose to communicate ourselves, it either furthers intimacy or it shuts it down completely, right? And another example that comes to mind is that, you know, for example, a sister is upset with her husband. He's done something that's upset her. She decides to not say anything about it, but it continues to fester, mm-hmm. and it continues to eat her up. And, you know, she makes a movie of it in her mind, and before you know it, bam, there's a massive argument which leads on to something else and something else. But were she to become vulnerable and open and say, you know what, I want to speak to you, that hurt me, that upset me, and the reason why it upset me is because of this and this and this, I'd like to give you an opportunity to speak about it, to communicate about it. You know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe my judgment is wrong. That type of approach, like I said, it creates an opening for communication, and communication always leads to connection.
And listening to you talk, it makes me think of, so in the position of the person who is open, for example, so say the communication lines are open, and in the way of both parties sharing and building this intimacy, there are lines when it comes to like what belongs in that place. If I say the couple, dumb, for example, there's a space that for things to be shared there, and there are other things that should be dealt with elsewhere. And this is something that I think is a tricky and fine line. So as women, we like to have our close friends, our ladies, and the ladies are people who you can process things with. We can talk about deep stuff together. Sometimes if I'm upset, I need to talk to my friends so that I can get clarity first. And once I process this and I understand it better, then I can now come to the relationship and talk about it from a level place without it seeming like I'm having an outburst and I'm being reactive and I'm just kind of blowing off steam or something. I think that's important. So within myself, when I feel that vulnerability and I want to share something, I need to be assessing, do I need, at this moment, do I need to parent myself? Like, do I need to deal with my stuff, or do I need to now come as a partner and deal with my partner? Mm-hmm. So I think there's things that have to be dealt with inside and inward. But then once you're ready in a healthy manner to bring it to, because you also get people who can be abusive towards each other saying, I'm being open, I'm being vulnerable. You wanted to talk.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's not what it is.
That's not what it is. That's not what it is. And I think we can get into a pattern of believing that we're being open by just
burning and just
getting it out of our system without thinking about how we're saying it and who we're saying it to and what the actual objective is. That's not what we're talking about here. But I wonder, see, I was listening to you, I wonder if I mean, I get that, you know, our relationship with our friends is different to our relationship with our spouses, right? And, you know, that girlfriend relationship is very, very important. But do we kind of go there first before coming to our spouse because we haven't nurtured that relationship with our spouse enough, or we're not as connected with our spouse as we can be because they're not our go-to, because we're scared of the reaction, or because we've got so used to a kind of fiery and volcanic argument, you know. I wonder what would happen if we went to them first, respectfully, honestly, openly, and what that might do to the relationship.
It depends on who they are. Are both parties in a place where they're like, they can regulate themselves enough to have this adult discussion and be able to sit with each other? Because sometimes, depending on the relationship, and this can happen with parents and children, as a parent, what happens to your child, you have a stake in it. You're so invested, and it's hard not to react or feel blamed or attacked. And the same thing with spouses, you know, she's unhappy because she's saying, I haven't done enough for her. And he's reading into what you're saying to him. And it's hard for him to just hear you, you know? So sometimes you anticipate blowback because of how it could be received. So you have to be you still have to be careful in how you present it because you just know the person in front of you.
Nayinka, what are your thoughts?
I think as you were talking and we were talking about specifically about emotional intimacy in the realm of marriage, I couldn't help but think about emotional intimacy with regards to between parent and child. And how damaging actually a lack of emotional intimacy can be for a child growing up, either with a mother who is emotionally absent or a father who is emotionally absent, but also maybe even with them feeling that they can't express themselves emotionally, or they don't have, sometimes it's even the emotional literacy to be able to say, this is how I'm feeling. You know, I think emotional intelligence and emotional literacy is really important. Mm-hmm. I recently had a workshop in a corporate setting where we did a task, and a guy said, I now have the language to say this. I never had the language before this. And so sometimes something that we may see as emotional distance is actually just emotional illiteracy.
They don't know how to express it.
They don't have the language. They don't have the literacy. They
so
don't have that.
Communication.
Right. Or just, you know, maybe they weren't brought up in a space talking about sadness. And so what we're seeing as anger is actually just sadness, but they can't express it like that because they don't have the language to be able to say, this is what I'm feeling, because no one's ever ask them, no one's ever helped them connect those dots. And so even for children to really help them to nurture and foster spaces where children become emotionally intelligent, emotionally
expressive,
and to be able to say and have that space to say, I'm really unhappy about that.
And not across the board.
And not for a family, like a parent to shoot them down and say, who the hell do you think you are? I'm your mum. Or who the hell do you think you are? Don't you know, like, blah, 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 as we like to do. And I know that as my own upbringing in terms of not knowing that there was even a space that I could say I felt sad, you know, not because there was any danger, but it wasn't something we didn't talk about emotion. We didn't talk about how we were feeling. And so having that was something I had to learn to do in my adulthood. Like, I have to say I'm feeling a certain way. Like, do you want me to tell you everything? Can't you just read me? And women tend to do that. Yeah. Like, can't you see I'm sad?
Yeah.
You can see I'm sad. Why do I have to tell you I'm sad? And the man's just like, dude, just...
It goes back, it's from a lack of communication.
But also just even sometimes setting expectations and boundaries, and there's a whole host of things, you know, like even for a woman to say, you know, when I'm feeling like this, I'd really appreciate if you were like this with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But also I think it's really important for us to express when I'm, you know, like to express, no, to ask, how do you want me to support you?
Right.
Yeah.
How can I support you in these
things can only come about if you're talking.
And you choose to be vulnerable.
Right.
And you choose to be open and say, this is the situation. Yeah. You know, it does require you to know. I think also going back what you were saying about that awareness, you're not okay. Mm. Having that level of awareness, I'm actually not okay. Like we said in season one, I'm not okay owning it. I'm not in a good place. And then being able to, because as long as you pretend.
Yeah, nobody's coming to help.
It's going to, right. Mm. And then you're going to get mad that they didn't come
to help you. Yeah, they didn't catch it.
Right. And I think that goes back to expectations. We have expectations of other people that they should respond to us when we're in a certain place, that they should do this to help me. This is how, but we haven't actually articulated that to the other person. Yeah. So it's a decision. I think there are two decisions. There's a decision within ourselves that, you know what, I'm going to get to know myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to know my needs. I'm going to remove the mask and I'm going to really be myself and honor myself and be true to myself. Next decision, I'm going to bring that to another person through clear communication. Yeah. Rather than silently expect them to interact with me in a certain way, I'm going to clearly and gently, with love and compassion, say to them, this is what's happening for me. This is what I need from you, right?
You know what you're saying, what you say about needs? It's really interesting because when we talk about needs, I think the expectation, yes, that someone will fulfill certain needs, but sometimes we decide that this need has to be met by that person. Mm-hmm. And if they don't show up to meet that need, then we're upset with them and there's tension, right, and there's a problem.
Right.
But is it true? Like, if you decide, are you going to decide that you aren't going to be in a good emotional place because they haven't met that need? One, because maybe they don't even know it. But two, is it really their job to meet certain need? Is it their job to make you happy, to make you feel happy? Mm. Do you see what I'm? Do you see what I'm going?
Your job is to articulate your need.
Right.
Whether they choose to meet it or not is their decision. Your response to whether they choose to meet it or not is your responsibility, right? So, but again, it's through communication. So it's saying, you know, I'm not in a good place right now. I need a hug.
Right.
Yeah. He may not be in a good place and he doesn't want to give you a hug.
He doesn't want to touch you.
Right? He doesn't want to touch you. Yeah? And then you just interpret that as him being completely dismissive of your feelings.
Right.
Okay? But then if he's coming from a very open and communicative position as well, and he'll say, right now, I'm not in a space to give you a hug. And you know that you have that level of vulnerability with each other.
You can accept that,
you know what, I articulated my need. He was unable to meet it.
And that's okay. He hasn't failed.
Imagine you have that need and you don't even share it. And you're sitting there because you want a hug, but the man doesn't even know that you want a hug. You know, it's like we're expecting things to fall from the air, to come to us from thin air. And then we get angry with the other person because they haven't fulfilled a need we haven't even shared with them. Mm-hmm. Lack of communication breeds complete shutdown. Brilliant, expressive communication breeds intimacy.
How can we, because there are going to be people watching this like, yeah, that's nice. You clearly have that down pat, right?
Not that we're masters of it, by the way. It's a journey, right?
What do we say to those who are clearly in relationships, or, and they don't have to be like marital, but clearly in relationships where there is a challenge to communicate with people.
Yeah.
Like, what do we say to, because it's nice to say, yeah, communication, yada, yada, yada. But then there will be people watching this saying, okay, but how do I even do that?
Very important
question. How do I get there?
A very important question. For me, I think to have a discussion about the lack of communication mm-hmm. is a starting point to say, you know what? This is our relationship, mother to child, father to child, husband to wife, friend to friend. You know, I feel that we have barriers. I feel that we're not as open with each other. And I would like for us to become closer. I would like to feel more connected with you. I'd like us to have a discussion about what we feel is getting in the way of that, mm-hmm. right? To have that. If after that, there is like hardly any communication, then I think sometimes you've got to go in yourself mm-hmm. and really be honest. Is the lack of connection and emotional intimacy because of me for a deeper reason? Or is it a case that, you know what, actually, I'm just not connecting with this person because we're just incompatible.
You know what you're saying about communication? It's really interesting because in my recent conversation with someone, she was talking about, I asked, how do you even communicate? And she said, we text. There you go. That's your issue, right? If you're only texting each other, that's where you're having all your arguments. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not even the not communication, not it's communicating.
It's the
how you are even communicating. Like if you are deciding that you're only going to talk when he's like really tired or she's really tired or she's had a long day with the kids and that's the only time you're going to just think about it.
Yeah.
You know, do you maybe you need a change of scenery, maybe go out to a cafe and have a chat. Do you see what I mean? Like there are nuances to this.
So it's the whens, it's the hows, right. it's the manner of communication.
Right. Because it's not like we're not communicating
at all.
We are always communicating something. But it's how we are communicating that is the problem mm-hmm. and how we go about fulfilling that communication with the other party. Because when someone is silent, they're still communicating something to you.
It's true.
They're just not saying
anything. And that is
communication. Right? So that's why I say it's never that there isn't communication there. Mm. How are you communicating in that? If you can work on that, that can be a game changer.
Yeah.
And I think in the instance that, so we say they try this and it just like you're saying, they hit the brick wall, the other person is not playing along, it's not working out. I think just like you're saying, Layinka, about the expectation that you put, the rules you have that this need must be met by this person. Yeah. So now if that person's not playing ball, you're going to be high and dry, right? Mm-hmm. So unless you address the expectation, so let's go back and inward, like you're saying, and assess whether I can meet that in some other way or with someone else or myself, because then I'm not going to be,
because
I'm
sometimes
not in
it
need,
doesn't have to be
know?
With that
I can
person
handle it.
And
yeah.
it doesn't have to be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, if it is a specific need that you have and they can't meet you there, okay. Does it have to be a game? Does it have to be a deal breaker? You can decide that, but can you have it met in other ways?
Another way, yeah.
Yeah.
Most likely.
And if you can't in certain relationships that, you know, such as marriage and so on, then it's a case of really looking at the impact of living in that way with a lack of connection, a lack of emotional intimacy and a lack of communication. And whether you can live with that or whether you can't.
Yeah.
And that's only a decision that, you know, each individual can make. Final thoughts on this topic. Samaya, I'll start with you.
I'm totally blank. Go ahead. Maybe I'll come up with something while you're talking.
Where's the communication?
It's shut down. I'm still communicating.
I've been there. I think emotional intimacy does, the journey towards emotional intimacy starts internally. Mm-hmm. And it starts with us. Mm-hmm. And even though we might say, yeah, but you should be open with me, actually assessing where we are internally, that's the first port of call. Because we often think that, yeah, you know, let's be, like you were saying, being open and just having like a verbal brain dump all the time. That's not necessarily being open. Mm-hmm. That's just talking.
Yeah.
So assessing where we are at, I think that's really key.
Absolutely. For me, communication, communication, communication. Choosing how to communicate, when to communicate, and doing it with a lot of mercy, compassion, and love, and without wearing any masks, I think that's only going to lead you towards good, inshallah. So share your thoughts and comments on the topic of emotional intimacy with us, and we look forward to seeing you over at the next episode, inshallah.
A sister is excelling in her business, in her studies, in her whatever it is that she might be doing, and there'll be those snide remarks.
Never knock someone who is on the receiving end of an unseen affliction.
But in that space, when things are hard, when I'm seeing other people succeeding,
and I'm just struggling,
Where would I really be?
All of us want our kids to rise to the end, and all of us want our kids to be far along, and it's very viciously competitive.
And I have seen this time and time again. You may be tested with it. Thank you.